We come from the net.
Through podcasts.
Through headphones.
Through speakers.
To this place.
Your ears.
Our format? Podcasters.
To watch and review.
To watch the show reboot.
Its episodes, old and new.
To defend you from your boredom.
Some say the listeners live outside the net and listen to podcasts for fun.
No one knows for sure, but we're gonna podcast anyway. Welcome to Mainframe.
Hello. Okay, that sucked right there. Hello and welcome back to the Welcome to Mainframe podcast, a podcast about the reboot animated series. And I am one of your hosts, Evan David, and I'm here with my other host,
John Mitchell.
We're back, everybody. How are you doing? You can't answer that because you are not here. How are you doing, John?
Doing pretty good. It's been a long time since we've done one of these.
It is, but we're back and we're ready to go. Today we're talking about episode 6, Belly of the Beast. And yeah, let's get started. Did you like this one?
It had a few fun throwbacks, especially with Jurassic Park.
Yes. This one is not one of my favorites, but it's still an episode, so we're covering it. All right, so like we always do, if you're new to the show, we are just going to spoil everything. We're going to go through it step by step, and if you want to talk about something, just stop me. I'm going to go through it plot point by plot point, and if I remember something that was worth talking about, I'll stop and talk about that too. So, and if you want to follow along with us in the show, watching this with us, the show is available to purchase on iTunes, but it is also, for now, as of this recording, available for free to watch legally at, at shoutfactory.tv.
That's new.
Yeah. Oh no, it's been up for a while, and yeah, they own the rights, the broadcast rights or whatever, so you can watch it for free on there.
Cool.
Okay, so once again, I don't know if you're noticing this, but once again in the opening or throughout the whole episode, really, there's some sound distortion going on.
Yeah, and I noticed in one of the pictures got distorted a little bit, or got like it didn't flow quite
yes,
as well. So
yes.
I was wondering about that too. Like, what happened?
Yeah, I don't know. I think when we watched the very first episode, there wasn't any of that, and then there was. So I don't know if that is just an iTunes thing, or if that's permanently like how they transferred it to digital on all formats, and now it's just stuck like that wherever you watch it.
It's a clue.
Maybe it's a clue. Maybe it's viral marketing that they've planned way in advance. Back in 1994, they knew we'd be watching it in whatever year this is, 2020. Yep. Okay. I don't think so. So this is called The Belly of the Beast, and what's happening is Megabyte is attacking this junkyard in Mainframe, and he is looking, apparently he does this on the regular, and he's talking to the junkyard guy, and he's like, "What have you got for me?" And the guy's like, "I don't got anything." And they find out, no, you do have something. It's an unformat command.
And they learn it by searching his memory. Yeah. And apparently they have this conversation all the time, and then they like teach him a lesson, like, "All right, you tell me differently next time."
Yeah.
They cooperate.
They search his memory, which is a little, like a little window that comes out with like it's
all the code.
It looks like
the
blue screen of death, and they look through it and they find it, and it's
must have slipped my memory.
And it's an unformatted. It's an unformat command, which in the world of Reboot, you shoot it at somebody and they just fall to pieces because they become unformatted and all their You get it. You get the joke. The The junkyard guy is apparently like British or Scottish, and he says "git" a lot.
Yeah, it was.
I
was like, "What? This is, they say that in a kids' show?" Apparently,
I guess that's like, is that a curse word in,
yeah,
in England, Europe? Yeah. So.
Well, yeah, you normally don't call people that. Jack Sparrow calls Davy Jones.
Yeah. Well, I know that bloody, like, if you say, oh, that bloody something or other.
Right.
You know, in England, apparently, this is what I've heard, it's, like, the worst curse word. Like, it's
really?
Yeah, it's worse than the F word. Now, if you're listening to this, tell me if I'm wrong, because this is just what I've heard from right. people. And, but over here, you say that, and we're just like, oh, you've put some British spice into your sentence. You know, that it doesn't mean anything to us over here in America. Okay. So, yes. So they find that he's got this in his memory, and so they have to search through the junkyard to actually find the physical thing. And while they're searching through the junkyard, one of the binos finds an arm, like an arm from a living being in the junkyard. He's like, oh, he throws it away. I thought that was funny.
It's like, I've always wanted one of these or whatever it was he said.
Yeah. And so they end up finding the unformat command. But then before they can go anywhere with it, Bob shows up and he starts messing with them. He operates a giant crane or the
junkyard arm.
Yeah. So, and Bob breaks the fourth wall again. Like, he looks at the camera and he's like, it's time to juice or something. He says, it's great. I love it so much. And so then they're chasing him through the junkyard. They're in one of their flying tanks and stuff. He's doing all this stuff. But then ultimately, Hack and Slash drop the unformat command and Frisket, the dog, eats it.
While they're stuck in this crane.
Right.
And Bob doesn't realize it.
Correct. And Frisket is Enzo's dog, and he eats it. I thought it was funny because Hack and Slash fall, and they like hit their heads. And little birdies start flying around their heads.
I didn't even see that.
Yeah. Awesome. But they're not birdies. They're like they're tiny versions of Hack and Slash, and they're flying around their head. Like, I can't do it because I can't whistle. So, yeah, like that. Like that. That was John doing that because I can't do it. And a couple other things I noticed about this junkyard is it looks like a regular junkyard, you know, but everything's kind of like distorted to look like it should belong in a computer.
Right.
You know, for right. the most part.
Yeah, I'll see that.
But no, this guy just lives in a trailer, like just a regular trailer with a recliner on it in this junkyard.
Yeah, it was a very... interesting, a Scottish hillbilly or whatever
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, it was a very it was an eclectic junkyard. Okay, and then around this time, one of the things I'm noticing about this show, and that because I have a friend who will rename Mainless, I podcast with him all the time, and he watched this show. I've been trying to get him to watch this show for a long time. He watched the first episode and said, "I give up. I quit. I can't." Just because of the animation. And I'm like, okay, well, I have thoughts about that, which I won't say on air. but I'm watching this, though. And, you know, I've recently gone back and watched some older shows from the 90s, like the Sonic the Hedgehog show and things like that, or Gummy Bears,
right.
You know. And one thing I'm noticing is those shows have aged worse than this show has just in the crispness of the image.
Hmm.
You know, the animation and the models of Reboot might not be great, especially not in season one.
Right.
But I've noticed in Sonic and other things that the television animation, it looks blurry now. It looks a little more blurry and, you know, out of focus or I don't know what it is, but
they just didn't put as much detail and graphics into it.
I don't know, or maybe it's just the transfer to a new format. Like Disney, they were able to keep their images pretty crisp on the Disney Plus app,
right?
For old shows like you know, Winnie the Pooh and things like that. But you know, Sonic and other shows that I've watched, like the Marvel shows, like Spider-Man right. and Fantastic Four, their images aren't as crisp. So I don't know if they're, you know, during the file transfer from analog to digital, Disney just took better care, or maybe they have access to the original stuff and they redid everything. But I don't know. But anyway, the transfer on Reboot, it looks solid and crisper. And, you know, even though things are outdated model-wise, it's still a very clear image on your screen.
And it was the first full CGI.
Yeah, show. Yeah, well.
Ever.
So you got to cut it some slack there.
Right.
But even so, it's you know, being so outdated, it's got a crisp image. Okay, so then Bob is at the diner. People say that he stinks because he was at the junkyard. Apparently computer people have senses of smell. Frisket comes inside, and they think that's weird because he never comes inside, but he's turning green, and he is sick. So to check on him, Bob taps his nose, which...
Evan lost it.
It's stuff like this that makes me love this show. Because Bob taps the dog's nose, which pops the trunk of his nose, pops the hood, and we see that inside of his nose is a...
engine.
Is an engine. And he's checking it to make sure everything's okay. And he shuts the hood again.
Yeah, that was a new revelation. Yes. I did not know he was a dog car.
I'm pretty sure he's not. He's just a dog, and that's just how dogs work.
Right.
Inside your computer. I'm sure if they opened up Bob's head, right, there would be some sort of Rube Goldberg machine making him go. Anyway, so then he takes out Glitch, which turns into an X-ray goggles, and he figures out, oh, he swallowed the unformat command. There's nothing we can do for him except hope that his stomach can digest it.
And send it through.
Yes, and he'll be okay. He shoots him with Glitch, and it's kind of like a Tums beam.
Right.
Which
helps things settle down.
Pepto-Bismol beam, and he shoots him with, and it's supposed to help him. But they're not sure. So Enzo's not there yet from school. Apparently he goes to school. Computer programs go to school. And here's another thing about that. Enzo is like the only kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, literally. Well, they're like almost the only human being.
Yeah, quote. They're called sprites. Right. So they're the only four sprites in mainframe, and the rest are binomes, which are the zeros and ones of the computer. And they have kids. But I don't know who Enzo's going to school with.
Yeah.
But he's going to school. Maybe he's just going to school with the other kids.
Maybe he learns from the sensei guy. I don't know.
Fong?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe we'll find... I can't remember either, so maybe we'll find out in future episodes. Mm. Okay, so Megabyte realizes that the dog has swallowed the thing he wanted. So he goes... and he has a plan. He's like, I'm going to kidnap Enzo because the dog will come to wherever Enzo is to save him, and then I will have him. Yes. So he goes and he kidnaps Enzo, and while he's doing this, I'm trying to pay attention to like stuff in the background, and there's a movie theater called The Algorithm.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
So
if only we could go to one right now.
There's just a piece of trivia. Yes, we're recording this during the 2020 lockdown.
It's June, pandemic. So things are opening up, but movie theaters are going to be the last thing to open up.
Yes.
And they can't open soon enough.
Yes. Well, and hopefully they'll have stuff in them when they open, because right now there's really nothing playing.
Right.
Okay, so yes, they try to kidnap Enzo in a tank, and as they're trying to drive away, Frisket bites the side of the tank and holds it in place with his jaw.
The door, it's a flying tank, mind you, and he's... every acceleration, it just slowly drags them across until finally the door comes off.
Yes. So, and I realized, like, this is why Megabyte needs Frisket to come to him, because the dog is a hoss. Like, he's just super strong and...
which we never really knew that up until now.
I don't think so. Like, I think maybe he did a couple of things, but this, he's really showing off how strong he is in this episode. So then he takes... or Frisket follows him, and Megabyte traps him in the Velociraptor cage from the opening of Jurassic Park. And I didn't catch this, but John's the one who caught it. He said, is that Jurassic Park? I'm like, it is! Because they get him, and they stick him in the cage, and then they have the electric poles, and they're putting through the holes, and the dog's grabbing them and flinging them, you know?
I was waiting for the showtime!
Yes.
Showtime!
They did everything but that.
Right. And the Megabyte literally, like, collapses the whole cage and pushes the dog into the containment unit.
Yes, because the binomes are trying, and he's like, I have to do everything myself. And we once again get reminded that Megabyte is not just a sit-in-the-chair mob boss.
Right.
He's, like, a super strong, crazy dude, and he does it all himself. So then Enzo's like, hey, don't hurt my dog. And mm-hmm. I like this line that Megabyte said. He says, boy, hurt is not the word. He's going to kill your dog. He's going to eviscerate your dog so he can get his thing. And Megabyte's like, the boy doesn't need to see this. Get him out of here. You know, because like, he's going to do horrible things to the dog.
But out comes the yo-yo.
So anyway, hold on. So then then we go back to Bob and Dot at the diner, and they're wondering where Frisky and Enzo are. Okay, and they say a great line, which I love. I love all these lines, where they say, I don't understand where they are. They should have been here microseconds ago. Which I guess means hours. Right. I think we've talked about this before.
Time is very different.
Yes, than a computer. We are going to have to come up with an official almanac or whatever.
Right.
A graph. So we can know what they're talking about here. Okay, so then we go back and we see what they're doing to the dog. They have a Frankenstein guy. They have the Frankenstein doctor. Then they have Frankenstein's monster / Igor, who's like, you know Igor? He's like the hatchback who...
Yes. He's like,
yes, master. I will throw the switch.
Walk this way.
Yes, yes. So... And so they're doing stuff. The Frankenstein doctor guy has like got a giant needle, like a glowing
syringe.
Syringe, that's what the word. Yep. So anyway, yes, they're getting rid of Enzo, but then the yo-yo comes out, like you said. And so he's distracting Hack and Slash with the yo-yo.
Right.
They're like, oh, the tricks.
And I guess it doesn't have a string?
No, it doesn't have a string.
Okay.
He's still doing tricks with it, but then he throws it at the control panel, and you think, it's going to hit one of the switches and turn it off. But no, it hits a switch, goes back, and then hits all the other switches.
So apparently he can control it with the force or something.
Yeah, or his mind. It's an RC yo-yo, remote control. Oh, and then he Enzo starts throwing some smack. He's like, you dip switches.
There was a lot of computer swearing in this episode. It was
that's not very nice to say.
And then the containment unit falls and you're like, oh no, I have to do everything myself. Was the glass like when he breaks out and Megabyte's like holding the glass?
Yes,
and
he pins Mega the dog pins Megabyte in between the floor and the glass of the cage.
Right. Was that from Jurassic Park 2?
I don't think so.
I couldn't remember.
Well, there's a part in Jurassic Park where the T-Rex pins the kids.
Yes.
In between
him. Yes, I think that was referencing that. Could be. So.
Yeah, because they're treating the dog like he's a dinosaur, like he's a monster. Yeah. You know? So anyway, they escape Enzo and Frisket, and they're running through Megabyte's fortress, and Megabyte is leading a horde of his infected binomes to go attack them. And so they finally catch him. They get him in some nets, but Frisket just drags them away. He's running and they can't hold him back. They find Megabyte's arsenal, which is full of missiles and tanks and who knows what.
And inflatable rescue rafts.
Yes. Frisket gives Enzo this gun, which you think this is going to vaporize the oncoming horde. He shoots it and it shoots a life raft. It shoots an inflatable life raft, which falls on them. And then they get up and they're like, really?
That's it?
Yeah.
And then missiles start
coming. Yes. Then the dog finds the missile launcher and starts shooting them with missiles. Okay. Oh, and here we see Megabyte. While he's walking through the fortress, we see some of his walk cycle. Horrible.
Yeah.
It looks horrible. Like, for some reason, they're able to get everything above waist pretty natural looking and good looking. Passable.
Yeah.
More than passable. It looks good.
Yeah.
But the walking is horrible. The walking is absolutely horrible. It doesn't look natural.
It's like an AT-AT.
Yeah, it doesn't look Empire close to natural. By. Yes. But his running looks good.
Yeah, it looks like a Jedi Force running in Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Yeah.
Like,
when he was,
holy cow, he's just like,
Because they steal a tank. Enzo and the dog, and they steal a tank. And so they're rushing past everybody, but then Megabyte just starts beasting after them.
The Flash is catching up with the hover tank.
Yeah, so like, but in the running cycle looks really good on Megabyte. So then as they're driving through the tank, through the hallways, Hack and Slash hold up their arms to say, like, halt. And then it's just a game of chicken between them and the tank. Except it's not really a game of chicken. It's only a game of chicken for them because Enzo can't stop the tank. He's like,
he tries.
Yes. So they eventually move out of the way. But then Megabyte just
jumps over the tank.
Yeah. And grabs it by the front and just digs his heels into the ground and stops it with his bare hands. Mm-hmm. And then shakes it around.
It picks it up and like trashes it like a ragdoll. Yeah. Fortunately, they got out just in time.
Yeah.
But Megabyte shows his true strength.
He is just a beast, man. So,
but yeah. Then he lets him get away instead of force running after them.
Well, yeah, because then once he has him cornered, he's like, I'm going to check my cuticles instead of... you are beneath me now that the tank is done. Thank you, Yumi. Goodbye. That's my daughter. And, yeah, so they get away because Megabyte is, he's not going to bother now that they're out of the tank.
Right.
He has his henchmen to do his dirty work for him, but the dog destroys his henchmen.
Yeah.
And they escape through an email chute.
Yeah, I was like, it's like the mail things from Elf. Like,
oh, the mnemonic, yes, the mnemonic, yeah, tubes, yeah, or whatever it is. Yes, so then they get up on top of the building, and they have a crane that Megabyte has on top of his building, and they get out of the building with it. And they're about to jump off or slide down the cord of the crane.
And there's a disturbance in the forest.
There is a disturbance.
Or Frisket.
There's a disturbance in Frisket's butt. Because he poops out. They don't show it.
Yeah, they don't show it ever, which is really interesting.
No, well, they can't. That's a...
Really?
Yeah, that was a network thing. You cannot show poop on...
Wow.
On the TV. On a kid's show. You cannot do it.
So, all right.
Yeah. So, but they make all the appropriate sound effects, and they reference it off screen, so they, then Enzo slides down the rope of the crane, and he's like, come on, you slide down too, boy, and he just jumps off and lands on his feet, and he's fine, because he's the Hulk dog.
Yeah, seriously.
So then they escaped, and Enzo's walking down the street, and his walk looks even worse than Megabyte's walk. It is horrible. I can't remember if they improve it in the second season, but these walk cycles are terrible, which, again, is why they are having Bob fly around on a hoverboard,
right?
And why half the time Megabyte is in his hover chair, because
that makes sense.
We don't want to animate their legs more than we have to.
Right.
So, yeah. They ask Bob and Dot find him. They're like, what happened to you, Enzo? And he's like, oh, we just kicked Megabyte's bit. Get it? Bit. Because of their computer stuff.
And of course, Megabyte steps in
the
dog's waist. Oop.
Yes. And he steps in it. He's like, never mind. Call off the search. I found it.
But at this point, it's deteriorated so much that it's of no use to him
Correct.
Anymore.
Correct, yes. So that's the end of the episode. Megabyte steps in poop, tells his people to delete the poop.
And you hear it squishing off screen as he walks away.
As he limps away because he's got poop on the bottom of his foot. And that is the episode. It's just... Oh, I love this show. Like, I don't even care how dumb it is. I know part of it is dumb.
It has plenty of surprises, though.
But yes.
And you learn...
It's super imaginative.
Right.
Like, the engine in the dog's nose. Come on. That's
just
good
a lot
stuff.
Of things you don't see coming.
Yeah.
And some fun classic movie references.
Yeah.
Because this was made...
94, I think.
And Jurassic Park was...
92.
Yeah.
93.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was pretty recent when this came out, which is kind of... Awesome that they referenced it.
Yeah.
One of the first references ever, which is awesome. I need to watch that movie again.
Jurassic Park?
Yeah.
Oh, I can quote that thing backwards and forwards.
Yeah. It's been a while, though.
I
need to
movie.
Watch it.
Yeah. All right. Well, there it is. Any other comments you want to make there, John, about the episode? Anything else stand out to you? I think
Jurassic Park really covers it. And the T-Rex. But other than that.
Oh, yeah, and they had the T-Rex crane, too. It looked like the jaws of a T-Rex.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. See, I'm on to something.
Yeah, they were going
full
war.
There's a reason you have me here.
Okay. All right. Well, everybody, thank you for listening, and we would love to hear your feedback as well. Please send us some. You can find the details on how to do that. Listen to our end credits. And so until next time, I'm Evan David.
And I'm John Mitchell.
And we'll We'll see you later. Thanks for listening to the Welcome to Mainframe podcast, hosted by Evan David and John Mitchell. You've heard from us, now we'd love to hear from you. Drop us an email or voice message at welcometomainframe@gmail.com. Dare to venture out onto the web and visit our site at welcometomainframe.com. Welcome to Mainframe is a proud member of the Relevant to Your Interests podcast network.